Good morning. Are you guys alive? Just kidding. You're here, right? You made it to MOPS. The amount of things that we have to do to get our kids out the door and to this location, I'm sure all of you have some sort of war story that you could share if we had the time for it, right? I am so happy to be here. And I'm not going to lie, it was so strange to not be at my own MOPS. But I felt like, what better way to be able to just show that MOPS doesn't just start here, that we are part of this global sisterhood, and there literally are MOPS all over the world. So if I have the opportunity to be here with you today and hopefully be able to bless you in some way or another, then I was going to be here. I have a fabulous team. They are good to go. It is totally fine. So I have to say, too, there's no better place than being in a room with a bunch of moms, right? You just feel like you're known. You can sneeze and be like, oh, I peed a little, right? And you're known. There's no judgment or anything. It's just fantastic. Okay, so I have the privilege to be here with you all today and to share my story. And I hope that it's going to show you how I have come to a place of walking in the light, allowing God to truly take on this theme of lighting my fire. And as you listen to it, it is my prayer that you would be able to relate to it in some sense and really dig deep into yourselves to figure out, are there areas where you need to find freedom so that you can find your fire? So although my story starts off on a very firm foundation, there was a time in my past when I went through a really dark time, marked by bad decisions. But God met me in my waste. He called me out of it, and he carried me through to where I am today. Sorry. So, I'm a very visual learner. I love photographs. So I have a lot for you today. Are you with me? Can you hang? Okay. We're on this journey together. And I got my man, Robbie, back there. He will be clicking away for me. So, let's go to where it all started. February 7th, 1982, Sarah Rose Abagin was born. Go ahead. There I am. Okay, ladies, now that is like chubbalicious, right? So chubby. I actually had to go on a diet. My dad was super concerned at one point. All right, I have one more photo for you. Okay. That's Halloween, and here's a really funny tidbit. That costume was actually my mom's cheerleading outfit when she was in high school. I'm telling you, I was extremely chubby. All right, you can hit the next slide. Okay, so I grew up in Yorba Linda. I don't know if you guys know where that is. It's probably about a good hour and a half, depending on traffic. And I was born and raised in a really solid Christian home. My parents love the Lord. I actually have a photo for you of them. Go ahead and hit that, the next one. There they are. Love my folks. And I have one brother. I think that's the next slide, if you want to hit that. There he is when we were little. Look at him, you guys. Chubby. Like big babies, and my mom's tiny. Okay, you can hit the next one. That's him and I at his wedding. They got married about 3 years ago, and I had to include this next one. I know you don't know me and you don't know him, but they had their first baby. You can hit that one. And it's so exciting. I felt like an official aunt, right? I have nieces and nephews on my husband's side, but they're like all so far out, so it just felt official. So it's very fun. You can hit the blank slide. Okay. So I have wonderful childhood memories. And when I was 5 years old, I sat down with my dad and I prayed to Jesus, asking him to forgive me of all of my sin. I had absolutely no guilt or shame, nothing to hide from. The door at that point was completely wide open, full of possibilities of how I could live out my faith. That spark was lit. And I grew up at Evie Free Fullerton Church, and I absolutely loved our youth group. And I was put into a core group, which is just essentially a small group because the church is so large. Had a wonderful leader, had great friends. One of my friends, we're still best friends to this day, just enjoying doing the motherhood thing. And I actually love to share this story because one of my favorite memories while growing up in youth group was being dragged on a mattress behind a car in the church parking lot, okay? And I really wish I had a photo of that. but I don't. But I love saying that because the point of that was that it was just good, clean fun compared to what other teenagers were doing at that time. So in junior high, I like to kind of categorize myself as I was the good girl, okay? I have a photo for you for that one. Very sweet and innocent, you know, slicked my hair back. I don't know what that's about. It's really strange. But there I am. You can hit the blank slide. And when high school hit, I was mostly just focused, being a runner. I was really involved in the youth group. And I didn't have very much interest, like, in boys or anything like that at that time. And after all, my parents were a little bit more on the strict side, so I wasn't allowed to date till I was 16. I wasn't even allowed to wear black mascara till I was 16. And who likes makeup? I was like a makeup freak, okay? So the day I was 16, I was like running up the stairs and I was like glopping it on from my mom's beauty counter, which was so fun. So at the beginning of my junior year, I started to date my very first boyfriend. You guys all know that feeling, right? Butterflies in your stomach. Super exciting. And he was a Christian, so I felt like I was doing as I had been taught. I was dating, but he was a Christian, so I thought it would all be fine and dandy. But as most teenage relationships go, it ended, and I was devastated, and he just kind of went back to his old girlfriend. So after that, junior year in high school, I got to wear more makeup. I got my braces off, got to dye my hair, stop slicking it back. And I caught myself being in the popular crowd. And I found myself in circumstances that I was not prepared for. And as peer pressure goes, just one bad decision leads to another. There's even the saying of, you are what you eat, right? You are who your friends are. And I found myself trapped in a relationship that I couldn't get out of. And I tried to resist, but I felt stuck. And it was a situation that was headed towards disaster. So after dating for about a year, boundaries being thrown out the window, I became pregnant. I will never forget the pit in my stomach as I waited to read that pregnancy test result. 18 years old and potentially pregnant. When I saw the test was positive, I completely went to irrational thought. I had just started my first semester of college, and I thought, where could I go far away? I could have the baby, put it up for adoption, and no one will know. Friends, I would love to tell you that I turned to God, I fell to my knees in repentance, and I did what was right. But that is not my story. I wanted to hide, and I wanted to undo what had been done. So instead, my boyfriend's sister drove me to an ATM, pulled out $450, and then drove me to Planned Parenthood. And I walked in, as numb as a person could be, to move forward and sign in to terminate the pregnancy. This was just another day for those workers. But for me, it was the worst day of my life. So I sat in the waiting room, and my name was called. And I was put into a second waiting room, and a movie was playing. Independence Day. So random, but so ironic. The first time I had seen Independence Day, I had gone to the theater, had my first kiss, which is a total disappointment. So I just sat there in this room, staring at the wall and being disgusted by the movie, so confused that this had become my life, that this is where I ended up. I had let horrible choices enter my door, and I was about to make another one. My name was called again, and I was put into a patient room, one of normal size that you would go to any doctor's office. The doctor entered, the door shut, and I had an abortion. When the experience was over, I completely shut the door on the entire thing, and I went into hiding. I didn't tell anybody about it. So time went on, and I continued to live this double life of going to church, but still going to parties, making bad decisions, lying to my parents. I needed to break free, but I didn't know how. I needed God's help. So after a few other specific events that I believe God used to pull me out, one which have included of another pregnancy, which ended in a miscarriage, I was finally able to break free from that relationship and that lifestyle. But now what? There was one day I was chatting with my mom, and she mentioned that our youth group at EB Free was looking for leaders to lead the small groups. So of course I was thinking, oh geez, if she only knew my past life, they wouldn't accept me. But I also felt like this was a great way for me to get on track with God. So I went to the interview, I kept that part of my life hidden, and I was accepted. Being able to feed into those girls' lives was such an amazing piece to my story, because I not only fed into them, but they really fed into me. Because as I gave them advice and counsel, I realized how much of that I needed to be taking in for my own life. This was a huge turning point in my walk. Okay, so I was getting back on track with my relationship with the Lord, and I was having a blast in youth group, okay? Tons of toilet papering excursions were being had, right? I have a photo. Look at that. That is a solid job right there. That's just what you do in youth group. You can go to the blank slide. It was fun and good, but I was still in hiding from my past, still living in that fear of the moment that somebody would find out my waste, my garbage. I looked the part, I fit in, but I didn't feel like anybody would accept me if they knew my waste. So then along came this guy named David. He was a core group leader as well. Oh, you already put it. Oh, you missed my lineup for that. It's okay. Okay, so we grew up in high school together, and I kind of knew of him. We were just acquaintances, because I was like in the popular club, whatever that means, okay? And he was in the Christian club, okay? So we were on two different spectrums of the high school world. And for me, I always kind of remembered him being this annoying, flirty guy. Enter photo, okay? He's such a goober in that photo. You can go to the blank slide. So when we were leaders, we would chat from time to time after youth group. And I'm not kidding when I say he probably asked me to coffee at least 8 times. But I would just graciously turn him down. I was just trying so hard, just after all of my junk, to just kind of stay on the straight and narrow path and not date. But there came a time when a really close friend of mine told me he had really grown, and he was not that goober that I once knew, but that he was a strong spiritual leader with his small group. So I thought, you know what, let's give it a try, and I decided to ask him out for coffee. So after dating for about 2 months, one night he asked if I wanted to watch Independence Day. I graciously denied his request. And in that moment, I knew that I needed to come clean. I could not handle him calling me perfect or amazing for one more night. So there was a time where we got home from an event, and I just shared everything with him. This was the very first person that I had ever shared any of that part of my life with. We both were very emotional. And I will admit, he had a really difficult time taking all of that in. So he actually decided to talk to his parents about it, which I was horrified, but also very grateful, because his mom was able to direct me to a clinic called Living Well, where they provided post-abortion recovery program. And after thinking things through, David came back to me, and he told me that he loved me, and he accepted me just as I was. That Christ had forgiven me, and that both he and God saw me as pure because of what Jesus had done for me. He said that he had come to terms with the fact he couldn't judge me because Christ had forgiven me,
And it would be an offense to Jesus to see me any other way than how he sees me. This was the very first time of really getting a true taste of that perspective of what Christ has done for us and how God truly feels about us. I immediately after that joined that recovery program at the clinic, and I was able to go on this amazing journey of learning scripture and from other women who had been through what I had, that it was okay to admit what I had done, to grieve the loss, and to forgive myself. I got to name those babies, Aaron and Jesse, and I wrote a letter to God of forgiveness. I finally was beginning to start this journey of breaking free and coming out of hiding. The door was no longer slammed shut. It wasn't wide open by any means, but a crack was a start. So, after 10 months of dating, that wonderful coffee-asking of a man asked me to marry him. And 10 months later, we were married. Go ahead and put the slide. There we are. Babies. You can do the blank slide now. And life went on slowly, and I began to share my past with my closest friends. Every time I shared, nothing but love was given to me. There was never judgment, which was always one of my biggest fears. God was reinforcing to me through his people that his love and forgiveness is greater than our waste. So after being married for about 3 years, David and I went on a road trip, which I hate road trips, but I did it for him, right? And when we got home, we found out that we were pregnant. I was ecstatic. The joy that I was feeling, it was overwhelming and spilling over. One of my biggest fears was that I would not be able to be a mom. And so I was about 9 weeks or 10 weeks, and we were going in for our first ultrasound, and we were really excited. And we saw the technician, and she had the ultrasound machine. She looked around, looked around a little bit more. And she said, you know what, we're just going to put you in the next room, and the doctor's going to speak with you for a minute. I sat in that room for 30 minutes, which felt like 2 hours. What was going on? Is there something wrong with the machine? Was there something wrong with our baby? Was my worst fear coming true? The doctor came in, and he immediately said, Sarah, there's no heartbeat. In that moment, I felt that weight and the devastation set in. My worst fear was coming true. So many emotions and past feelings of shame arose, and my body wasn't discarding it naturally, so I had to be scheduled for a DNC. We named that child Sammy. But after the DNC, I needed to know, will I be a mom? I know many of you have probably experienced miscarriage. Some of you want to wait. Some of you need to try again. I needed to try again. I needed to know what God had in store for me. But God was communicating, I am faithful. I do not see your waste when I look at you. So after our second try, we had our first child, Caleb James Ferraro. You can put him up there. I was so overwhelmed with the fact that I could physically hold my child. Nothing like it. 2.5 years later, we had our daughter, Trinity Rose. There she is. And then 4 years later, we had our last child. I laugh at this one. Lucas David. Oh, Jesus. This is the cute one, but he is the one that gets in the toilets, ladies. Okay? He is that one. Oh, my goodness. I was so blessed. God showed up. The last slide is a picture more recently of our family. There we are. You can hit the blank. Okay, so as you all know, Life was crazy, but amazing, being a mom. And I got involved in this mom's group called MOPS. You might have heard of it. And I loved it. And I gained so much encouragement. And there came a time when they would always ask for discussion group leaders to step up. Every time I was like looking every other way. Because, I don't know if your group does this, but it's just kind of like today as well, I knew that every year we would have this day where it was like tea and testimony day or life story day. And at our MOPS, our discussion group leader, after the speaker, shares their story. And so I just didn't know if I was ready. But I also felt this tug and pull. So I signed up to do it. And when Life Story Day was approaching, I was so nervous about, well, do I just say I went through a dark time? Or do I actually lean in and share the details of my story? So I felt that push and pull, and I committed. And I shared the details of my story. And once again, you guys, nothing but love and support and other sharing came from it. So I was a DGL for 2 years, and then the need of the role for MOPS coordinator came about, and I was asked to consider it. There were so many other amazing women, I just felt so inadequate, but again, felt like God was leading me to do it. So my husband was extremely supportive, and I committed. But at the time, this is a little bit of a funny story, he was candidating at a position, actually not far from here, in Encinitas at a church, and we really thought he was going to get it. So with the MOPS coordination role, I said, well, I'll get it started. Summertime, as coordinators in here would know, is usually the heaviest part of our planning. So I'll just get it started, and then I can pass it on to the next person. We got an email that he didn't get the job, which I was shocked. But my first thought was, oh, no. Now I have to run MOPS. Oh, my gosh. I will never forget that day. I had no idea the incredible journey that the Lord was going to take me on. And here I am in my sixth year of doing this. So my first year as MOPS coordinator, we had the theme of a beautiful mess, embrace your story. And that is truly how I felt like my life was. A beautiful mess, and I had this story that I really needed to embrace. So I did that. And then the next year was be you bravely. I knew that this was speaking to me and kind of directing me on a path that I needed to take. And when that life story day was approaching, my friend looked at me and said, Sarah, I think you need to be the one to give your story. I had been in hiding for 14 years, but I knew that it was time, and I needed to break free. Free from the shame of the past and trust that God would carry me through. So my brave was to tell my story, but first, my brave needed to be to tell my parents. Whew. So David and I decided that we would have my parents over just to babysit, because we do that all the time, and we would be able to go out to dinner and just tell them, hey, we don't want to be out that late, so just text us when the kids are in bed. That way we'd be able to come home, and I'd have the opportunity to have a quiet home and share. So we went to dinner, then Starbucks, then Trader Joe's. It was like tick tock, tick tock, absolutely torture, waiting to have a conversation that I never once in a million years expected to have. So in the car, I got the text. The kids were in bed. It was go time. And as I got home and I walked up that porch, I felt incredibly nervous, but also so excited that God was giving me the courage to be me bravely. I shared with my parents, and they responded with nothing but love and grace. It was very, very hard to hear, and they have their own journey of healing to go on as well. But they showed me that grace, just like Christ. I'm forever grateful to them for their legacy they have created of their love for Jesus. And once they knew the truth, I did not feel the need to hide anymore. That door was wide open again. Now, there are still many times that I experience pain from my choices. Mother's Day, for example, is very bittersweet. But those are consequences of my sin, the pain. But it's also a tactic of the enemy to want to keep you there, to keep you in it. I constantly have to remember what's true, that God forgives me. He sees me as pure, and he is taking care of my little ones in heaven until I arrive to hold and kiss them. I read something a few years ago that has really touched me and hasn't left me. It's by an author and speaker, Jenny Allen. And she says, God can use our biggest waste for his richest soil. Our garbage can be used for his glory. And I'm hopeful that that is what he is doing with me now. Since I spoke 4 years ago that first time at my own MOPS group, I've been given so many opportunities to be able to share and feed into just women and hear their amazing stories as well. I also now serve at a pregnancy clinic, and I'm on the board, and I'm able to be a part of that and get to hear these amazing stories of women who did choose life and just be kind of a mentor in that sense as well. It's been such a ride, and God continues to just show me how big he is. So here we are today. I firmly believe that I have been on this journey of healing to end up standing right here in front of all of you amazing women. So let's think about your take home. And here's how I want to start. If any of you, and I know there's some, have had my experience, or maybe you've even had a friend, mentors, maybe even a daughter, granddaughter. By age 45, one-third of the American women will have had at least one abortion. I strongly encourage you or whoever you know for them to go to a post-abortion recovery program. It was life-changing for me. Don't live in that shame and guilt. It is not what God wants for you. When he looks at us, he doesn't see all of our terrible, toxic decisions. We do. He doesn't. He sees his daughters. Now, secondly, maybe some of you actually have a really hard conversation that you know you need to have with somebody. Hopefully, my experience and the amount of healing that it brought me when speaking to my parents would encourage you to have that hard conversation, whether it be something of forgiveness or one of truth. Do I have any Greatest Showman fans in here? My people. There's a line in the movie, and he says, comfort is the enemy of progress. And when he said that, I thought, that is so true. We get so comfortable. Have that hard conversation. And lastly, bondage. When I look at my life, I recognize that I was in major bondage. I was hiding, holding on to all the shame and guilt, fear of the judgment. And at some point, we all have or will experience a time of being in bondage. It might be bondage from bad decisions, like it was for me. But some of you, terrible things are happening in your lives, and it's out of your control. And you're in bondage with anger or fear, or you're in bondage from comparing yourself or frustration or sadness. Break free. Experiencing true freedom for me was coming out of that hiding and being open to be used however God wanted. So in my time at MOPS, I encountered a video that really spoke to me and gave me words to everything that I was feeling. I'm going to warn you, it's a lot of words, okay? But I strongly encourage you all to take a moment and just sit back, let all the distraction be gone from you, and just read. All right, let's cue it. Powerful words. He is pursuing us. He is redeeming us. We are His. Come home. Okay. So to transition, I'm going to ask a question. Do any of you remember being in high school when we had those giant textbooks that you'd have to put in your backpack and literally cart all day. And to home, if you were like me, you did not have a locker. Okay? So I want you to consider this pack right here, a heavy pack. Let's imagine that the contents represent our waste, our failures, our sin, fear, guilt, shame. And I want you to think about your own life, your choices, your attitudes, your actions. Where do you need freedom? Is there anything that comes to mind from the past or the present? Would there be anything heavy in your pack? When I look at mine, I'm not proud of my waste. But it's such a burden to keep it hidden in there. And it's a burden to just carry it. So one of my favorite verses is Matthew 11, 28 through 29. And Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." What God has taught me, it's heavy, is that even as I lived in my waste, feeling this heavy, heavy burden, I didn't have to, because Jesus cleared my debt by paying it with his own life. And when we ask for that forgiveness, he takes it all away. That burden can be actually taken and lifted off. You guys, I'm here to tell you my story, to remind you and to remember myself that he takes it all away. He knows me and he knows each and every one of you. He already knows what's in our packs. And he stretches out his arms and he trades our packs for his. And his, well, his, my friends, it is very light. So light. He trades our sin, guilt, and shame for his purity, righteousness, and beauty. But here's the question. If we are free from this heavy pack, why do we continue to allow it to weigh us down? I mentioned earlier just the tactic of the enemy and wanting to keep us in that pain and in the hiding. He doesn't want us to experience the freedom that comes when we say yes to the forgiveness that is offered. You guys, most of us even sing the song to our kids. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. What's next? Don't let Satan blow it out. The fire. Keeping the fire lit and roaring. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Now, I don't know about you, but the word yoke doesn't always enter my vocabulary unless we're talking about breakfast, right? But this is actually a term that comes from farming. And a yoke is a device that a farmer would use to put two oxen on to plow his field for a straight path. And the idea is that the two animals would keep each other on that straight path, but making the load easier. Now, from time to time, the farmer would need to train up a young or a weak ox, and so he would pair it with a strong ox. And the strong ox would carry most of the burden to ensure that they were on a straight path. yoke? Yes, the two oxes. This is Jesus using this metaphor to communicate that he will take our heavy burdens and he will give us rest. We will move forward. We will be moving forward next to him. He is the strong ox. We are the weak one. But when we say yes to him, then we are side by side, having him carry our burdens, leading a straight path. He is the light. There are many heroes in the Bible, men and women who we honor for their faithfulness and their obedience. But even our most celebrated saints have moments where they strayed away. For example, Adam, Moses, or the nation of Israel. In New Testament times, consider Peter, who actually denied Christ, and Paul, who persecuted Christians. You guys, followers of Christ make mistakes. We stray away. But God is a God of second chances. He leaves all the others to search for the lost one and brings him or her back. He is like the father that waits at the gate for the runaway son to return, and he throws a party. I think it's safe to say that here in this room, we all need redemption. When you hear that, what does it even mean? Well, dictionary.com says to redeem means to clear by payment. The blood that was shed on the cross is why we are able to walk with the light pack versus the heavy one. It's why any chains that are keeping us captive can be broken free. Now, I don't know what it is for you when you look into your own life. I don't know what your biggest struggles are. I don't know what your bad decisions have been. Some of you are drowning in motherhood. It's hard. Some of you, your marriages are falling apart. Some of you are in this bondage and frustration of just being angry with your kids. Some of you are numb, and you're just going through life, doing the to-dos, not being able to fully grasp the joys of life. Some of that is, too, just comparing with all the others around you. So I'm going to ask you, what is your biggest failure? What are you in bondage in? Have you come to terms with it? Have you brought it to God or to others? I love MOPS. And do you know why I love MOPS? I love MOPS because it is a safe place to enter in and be able to share. And that is my hope for you guys this year. I would hope that you would feel safe to be able to share whatever it is that is stirring inside of you. I'm not saying you need to hang out your dirty laundry for all to see. But I am saying to find the safe people, because sharing brings healing, and you never know what you have to share might help somebody else as well. You guys, we have to share our war stories, right? What do we have to lose? Through my journey, I realized that because I wasn't forgiving myself as well, I wasn't fully accepting that forgiveness that Jesus is offering. I had to forgive myself to break out of that bondage, and part of forgiving myself, that process, was sharing with others. So, if you're sitting here today and you are feeling some sort of push or pull, there's a pit in your stomach, some of you, I'm gonna call you out. I know you've grown up in the church. Some of you have been churched your whole life. Some of you, not at all. And you're here because there's hot coffee and there's food on the table, and you don't even know how you feel about this God thing. And that is okay. But I'm just calling you out today for whatever is stirring inside of you to lean into it. Maybe he's even calling you to just acknowledge that your light right now, it is very dim. But he's waiting to help you to truly tend that fire. But the biggest question of it all, you guys, is will you say yes? I love the theme this year, find your fire. To live expectantly, to actually think about what could go right, For the longest time in my life, I was worried about what people would think. I never thought about what could go right if I actually shared. Then there's to surrender daringly, to let it go, to let go of the shame and the guilt, however that looks in your own life. And lastly, to breathe freely. When I think about this one, I think this is the one that can hit moms the most. To let yourself be loved. We are our worst critic. We're like the hamster wheel at night, right? Our minds don't turn off. All we think about are the things that we are doing wrong instead of the things that we are doing right. Let me just say it now, ladies. You are doing a good job. You're a good mom. Your kids are lucky to have you. There's one thing in the MOPS International thing, and it says, let's stop inhaling the fumes of our mistakes that tell us that we are not enough. I love that. It is so true. And one other piece I want to add before I close to this theme, as I've really taken it in and I've thought about our fire. There's a piece of our fire, and when it's dim, I think that it's because we are striving and reaching for things that we shouldn't be. So what I want you to think about is I want you to think about what are your passions and what are your gifts. Yes, we are in motherhood, and it is our job, but it doesn't mean that you don't have to be able to seek out some of your passions and gifts. But here's why we're dim as a fire sometimes. Because we're on Facebook or we're on Instagram. I loved what you said this morning. And we're comparing, or we're reaching out, trying to do these things that all these other moms are doing, but when frankly, we're just not wired for it, or we're not gifted in that sense. So I would strongly encourage you to think about what you enjoy doing. What are your talents? What are your gifts? What are your passions? To also just add to the fire. I'm standing up here going first today to share my story in hopes that you would feel the freedom to do the same, and that you would be able to be vulnerable and authentic. Again, sharing brings healing. And so I'm standing up here before you today, vulnerable, as a MOPS leader and just a leader in the church, telling you wholeheartedly that I am broken. I am actually not enough. He is enough. And so what I'm paired on that yoke with him, then I am enough. Sisters, I'd love to leave you with this. To run home to Christ. Receive that forgiveness. See yourself as he sees you. That is ultimate freedom. That is unlocking the key, which will then let you begin to pave the way and see the light and find your fire. Thank you.